We've been looking at the creation account on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'm always glad that you join us each Sunday. Thank you for studying the Word of God with us, and we invite you to the services of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We're looking at the greatness of God in creation, and He certainly is a great God that is deserving of our praise and worship and service and obedience. As we began this particular portion of our study on God and Christ, in looking at Genesis 1 and 2, we noticed the characteristics of God. And then we had a lesson on the characteristics of mankind. And we need to know who God is in all of His characteristics, and we need to know who we are. We are not evolved animals. We're made in the image of God. And then this morning, I want us to look at the Garden of Eden, the place of paradise, the environment in which God created for man and woman. And we're going to find that He intends to have that same kind of environment in heaven one day. Let's read Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, and let's talk this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program about Eden, the Garden of God, and what we can learn about the greatness of God from that place. Genesis 2, verse 8, and Jehovah God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made Jehovah God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became four heads. The name of the first is Pishon, that is, which compasses the whole land of Havilah, and where there is gold. And the gold that is in the land is good, and there is Delium in the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is that which compasses the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, and that is that which goes in front of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And Jehovah God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Let's take a place, this place, let's take a look at this place and see what it was that God created for Adam and Eve. And I want to look at several characteristics of this place this morning, and then we're going to notice that God has created a place in heaven that is also a place of paradise. First of all, notice that in the Garden of Eden, it is a place of beauty. God, like the other things that were created, when He got done creating them, we're told that they were good, and they were very good. The same is true with this garden. It was a place of beauty. Eden means delight. It was divinely prepared. The text says that Jehovah God planted a garden. Just like He had taken control in making all of these other things, He specifically made a place of beauty. The word garden means a protected place or park. It's used a few times in Scripture. And where Eden was located is not as important as what was there. When you take a look at these four rivers, it was located most likely somewhere in the Mesopotamian Valley, modern-day Iraq. But the exact location, which some have tried to find, is not what is important. What is there and what God intended to be there is what is important. Notice that in this beautiful place, that God met both the aesthetic and physical needs of man. Notice that the text says that it was pleasant to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Sometimes we overlook that little statement. God has an aesthetic side, and we do as well. What is beautiful to look at, and what is beautiful to listen, and what tastes good, what sounds good, what feels good. God has an aesthetic side to Him, and we do as well, being made in the image of God. And we can use that, what we call the natural arts and things like that. We can use that for the good of others. Music and painting and photographs and tastes and smells and touches. All of these things are made by God. He doesn't make a bland world, a monochrome world. And so it was pleasant to the eyes and good for food. Man's needs were met. Eden contained luxuriant beauty. It's referenced a few places elsewhere in the Old Testament. Genesis 13:10, Ezekiel 28:13, Ezekiel 31, verse 8 and 9. God wanted there to be a place that is beautiful. And that's what God always wants. And it was a beautiful place. Once sin entered the picture, there were problems. God makes only that which is good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, James 1:17. And we need to remember that. If we look around the world today and see ugliness, it's not because of God, it's because of man and the devil. These four rivers show beauty. Pishon means full flowing. Gihon means bursting. Hiddekel means darting. Euphrates means sweet. Eden was a fertile place. It was filled with treasures. Gold is mentioned here in the text. But again, like I said, the exact location is not as important as what is there. The location would place it in the general area of the Mesopotamian Valley in modern-day Iraq. But what is there? Well, not only is Eden a beautiful place, but it's a place of innocence. At this point, there's no sin in the picture. Eden is a place of happiness. There is no sorrow there. All of the human senses were taken care of. The body, what was needed to eat. The mind, social needs. Man and woman were created, and then a relationship with God. Spiritual needs were met when God spoke with them. Social needs were met when Eve was created. The mind and the body, those needs were met in food and even work that we will talk about in just a minute. Work is good for the body and the mind. So notice that God made a place where man is completely taken care of. There's much unhappiness in life today. There's pain and sorrow and death and sin. And we forget sometimes that God's original plan was for there to be none of that. We need to remember the original place and the original plan that God made for mankind. Total unhindered communion with God. Total happiness. We forget that picture, that short picture of Genesis 2, 8 through 17. We forget that sometimes, especially in the modern world. But we don't need to forget that. And there is a place prepared just like that, with similar descriptions, as we'll see in just a minute when we get to the end of the Bible. And that's what God wants for us. This world is not going to be revamped and restored and remodeled and remade. In 2 Peter 3:10, the earth and the works therein will be burned up. It's going to be gone. There will be two eternal places, heaven and hell. And heaven is not going to be on a restored earth. And this place is meant to be temporary. This place is meant to be for the time that God has it allowed. But he has a beautiful place like Eden. And friends, we need to obey God and live in such a way that we can go there. So number one, Eden was a very beautiful place to be in. And that's what God originally intended for mankind. And that's what he has in mind in heaven in the end. Number two, Eden was meant to be a place of fellowship where Adam and Eve could be there in fellowship with God. Sin would later break that fellowship. We'll see that in a future lesson in Genesis chapter 3. Sin will break that fellowship. But close fellowship is what God intended. And if there is sin in our life, we can get that sin out of our life and we can walk with God. We can walk in the light with God. 1 John 1:5 and following. We can be in fellowship with Him with sin removed, beginning with being baptized into Christ. And we can have a close fellowship. And one day in heaven, we can be in close fellowship with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with God. The devil doesn't want that. The devil wants that broken up. The devil wants man and God to be apart and separate from each other. He rebelled. He and other angels rebelled. We learn about that in 2 Peter chapter 2. He did not want to be in fellowship with God. He broke the commands of God. Peter talks about how that angels sinned, which implies that they had law. And he didn't want to be obedient. He didn't want to be in fellowship. He was made with free will, as the other angels were, and he chose to sin. And he tries to get you to do the same, but you don't need to follow his deceit and his plan. You need to stay away from that. And James says in James chapter 4 that you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're going to see in a future lesson where Eve and then Adam chose not to do that. But originally, for some time, we're not told how long, Adam and Eve were in fellowship with each other and with God. And it was a beautiful place to be in. There was no accusing. There was no blaming. That's later when sin comes in. Wouldn't it be nice to be in an environment where there is no sin, there's no blaming, there's no excuse making, there's no punishment, there's no punishment for sin, nothing negative. And that's what heaven will be, and that's why we need to obey God and strive to be there. It'll certainly be a beautiful place to be in, and it'll be a place of fellowship. And we'll read about that some more toward the close of our lesson. Eden was also a place of work. Some people forget about that. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, God took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it, like a gardener. There would be things that would need to be done, whether it was the pruning of trees or other type of outdoor gardening work. Sometimes people get the picture that Adam and Eve might be sitting around in a lawn chair drinking a cold drink underneath a palm tree. It was a place of work, and work is good for us. Notice how that when God gave everything good, that includes a couple of things that some people today don't consider good, but in fact it is good. Number one, commands of God, and we'll look at that in a minute, and work. People today would view that as negative, but it's actually good for us. Work is God-assigned. It's pleasant, and it's necessary. Man has a work to do. The punishment later in chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18 and 19, Adam was not punished with work. He already had work. The punishment there is the increasing of the work in the sweat of his brow and the thorns and the thistles, but work itself is not a punishment. God gave work before Adam and Eve sinned. Man is a creature of work, contrary to the idea today that the world owes me a living and a life of ease. We live in this entitlement attitude, especially in the last few years, where people are going around saying, you owe me money, and you owe me a nice job, and you owe me a nice house and car. And we're hearing today about reparations and entitlement and what is due me. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to work hard, but you give me all the nice things that come from going to school and working hard. And we're getting more and more lazy. The pandemic certainly didn't help that. When a lot of people were shut in and shut down, they just decided, well, I'm not going to work anymore. And we're having problems even today filling the workforce because people got lazy and some of them got paid to stay home. Some of them got paid not to work by the government. And you do that, you're going to have, not only are you going to have a large national debt that other people and taxpayers have to pay for, but you're making people to be lazy in mind and body, and that is not good for anybody. And so get out and work. And so notice that the Garden of Eden was that very place. As I said before, God gave mankind a work even before they sinned. And they should have been doing their work rather than listening to the devil. And so, after their sin, the difficulty of their work was increased. That is true. And our work in life seems difficult at times, but hard work teaches us self-discipline. We are too busy working sometimes in order to take care of self and assist others. Some people put their life into work so much that they won't take care of their spiritual lives. Don't be lazy, but at the same time, don't work so much that you won't take care of your spiritual life. And part of that is worshiping God on Sunday. We're not to be lazy. The sluggard and the lazy person is condemned in Proverbs 10:4, Proverbs 12:11, Proverbs 13 verse 4 and 11. In the New Testament, we're to work with our hands. Acts 20:35, Ephesians 4:28, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, 2 Thessalonians 3:6 and following, 1 Timothy 5:8 and following. Physical secular work is prescribed in both Old and New Testament times. And we need to do that today. But keep it in balance. Some people are working so long that their marriage is having problems and their children are having problems and they themselves are having problems. Keep it in perspective. Just like God took a period of rest at the end of this creation, He wants the work week to have a period of rest in it. And remember that. And it wasn't all about work. Not only was Eden a beautiful place, and number two, a place of fellowship, and number three, a place of work, it was also a place of spiritual accountability with God. There was liberty and law at the same time. In Genesis 2:16, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, liberty. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Law and restriction, both are there. And we find that wherever God's word appears, we find the same thing. God allows some things in our life, and He does not allow other things. And there's a place here for accountability and responsibility. Friends, all true life of blessing and fellowship includes law and direction. Sometimes people today say, well, you know, if you're really living, boy, that's when you don't have any rules you need to follow. No, Eden was a very beautiful place. They were living, as it were, but there was law. And law keeps us orderly, keeps us conducting ourselves properly, and God is wanting to see if mankind will obey Him. With blessings come responsibilities. With blessings also come law. Note that Adam and Eve were on probation in Eden. This wasn't meant to be once saved, always saved. Once you're in Eden, you're always there. This is a period of probation because at the end of chapter 3, they're going to be removed from the garden for sinning. Man's environment at first was good, but his good environment did not cause him to remain a good person. You can be surrounded by a good environment and choose to sin. We need to notice that. Adam and Eve were in a very beautiful place. Sometimes people blame their environment today. Well, if he had just grown up in a good place, he wouldn't have chosen to do that. Well, that's not true of Adam and Eve. They grew up in a very beautiful place. But we're given free will. Sometimes the environment does affect us, but sometimes it doesn't. It's just the choices that we are making. So Adam and Eve had a very good environment, but they chose to do what the devil said. And then God holds man responsible. Man is responsible for his actions. And that's what we're going to find later in chapter 3 when we get to that lesson. We don't have fate where we just have to do what is already determined. We don't have determinism or fate. We choose our life each and every day. God created man with the power of choice and free will. The devil exercised his free will, 2 Peter 2, along with other angels, to sin and be cast out of heaven. Mankind chose to sin and be cast out of the Garden of Eden. God is going to hold us responsible for our actions, and in modern day society that is slowly going by the wayside, parents won't hold their kids responsible. Law enforcement and government and other people won't hold people responsible. And we're getting into a lawless action. You can break all kinds of laws coming into the country and after you get into the country, and more people will not hold you accountable. And as we become a more and more lawless society, more and more people are going to get hurt. Notice that mankind has the moral capacity, the will, the conscience, and the ability to choose right and wrong. God did not choose for Adam and Eve. Satan did not choose for Adam and Eve. Man made that choice. God invites you to follow him, and the devil invites you to follow him, but you make that choice. You decide. And that's what Ezekiel chapter 18 is all about. You decide if you are going to live right or wrong. There are so many human philosophies today that I can't even talk about, which try to shift the blame for man's actions or excuse it altogether on other kinds of things. The old Greeks and Romans called it fate. Then it was called determinism, and then Gnosticism, and then Calvinism. Some people today blame their environment or their genetics. I was born this way. And we're going to see when we get into chapter 3 that Adam and Eve wanted to make excuses. That excuse making and that blame shifting goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And we've had many isms, many philosophies that do that same thing today in the secular and even in the religious community. You stop and listen to a lot of things that are being said today. Often it has to do with excusing people's behavior. The narrative of Genesis 2 and 3 clearly teaches us that man is responsible to God for his actions. And friends, we need to remember that. Man chooses to serve the devil. Man cannot blame others for his actions. We'll see that when we get to chapter 3. And man must be punished for his sin. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. The greatness of God in today's lesson is shown in his goodness in making a good, beautiful garden, giving man everything they need mentally, physically, socially, spiritually. Man, the greatness of God is seen in his law and his liberty. The greatness of God is seen in holding man accountable when they sin. We serve the same God that Adam and Eve served. And as I mentioned earlier, Ezekiel chapter 18 teaches us that sin is not inherited, and we don't need to be blaming others for what we've done. Maybe in a future study that we can go down through Ezekiel chapter 18, that would be a great lesson. We're sinners by choice, not by force. We are responsible, and we can change if we want to. If we are good, we can become bad. God made man upright, and then he sought out evil, Ecclesiastes 7:29. But if we sin and do bad, we can become good again. Today, that is through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ and being baptized into him for the forgiveness of our sins. Last of all, this morning, I want to talk in our remaining time about how what was lost by Adam and Eve can be regained by us in the end of time. Adam and Eve, as God's paradise for man, was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. The sin of Adam and Eve brought physical death. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22, where they began to die physically, and it also brought spiritual death or separation from God. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 5, 12 and following. Ultimately, Adam and Eve lost Eden. What was lost in Adam and Eve can be regained through Jesus Christ in heaven. Ultimately, paradise will be regained once again in the second Adam. Paul calls Christ the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ, when sin is removed and forgiven, can give us a place of Eden. Man's first dwelling place can be man's eternal dwelling place. And where we get that is at the end of the Bible. At the very beginning, we see paradise lost. At the end, we see it regained. And what happens in the middle is the story of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1, describing heaven, John writes, "And he showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb." And the throne of God all throughout the book of Revelation is in heaven. "And in the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river and on that, was the tree of life." We read that in Genesis 2, "bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse any more. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be there, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night any more, and the need of no light or lamp, neither the light of sun. For the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." In chapter 21 and 22, different places, we're told that there's no sin whatsoever in heaven, only purity. For example, in chapter 21 and verse 27, "There shall in no wise," this is heaven, "enter into heaven anything unclean, or he that makes an abomination and a lie, only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." And friends, you need to be written there in order to be in that place of paradise. Another place is Revelation 22 and verse 15, outside of heaven, are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone that loves and makes a lie. So friends, we need to get our lives right with God immediately while we can, so that we can be a part of this great paradise. In chapter 21 and verse 1, it's called the new heavens and the new earth. Other places, it's called heaven. Are you ready to go there? That's what God originally intends for his people. Don't let the devil keep you out of that environment that God wants you to be in. Let's all go be together in heaven because we have obeyed the word of God. If we can assist you and help you to do that, let's study the Bible together. And thank you for being on the program this morning, and I hope you'll have a good day.